This is Fresh Air. Some novelists pride themselves on the epic sweep of their fiction. Nicholson Baker is just the opposite. He finds it heroic to take one thought, one obsession, or one moment, and follow it in all its minute detail. His first novel, The Mezzanine, cataloged all the thoughts one man has on his lunch break as he goes up the escalator after buying a new pair of shoelaces. Baker's recent memoir, You and I, confessed to how he constantly measures his life and work against John Updike's. Baker's books always include the most intimate, often embarrassing thoughts, but his new novel, Vox, is about the most intimate, potentially embarrassing subject of them all, sex. The novel is a 165-page long conversation between a man and a woman on a 900-number phone sex line. They're arousing each other with their fantasies and discussing the images and language that turn them on. Now Baker is doing interviews about the book, and I asked him if it's a little embarrassing to talk about.
Well, it is a little embarrassing. The neat thing about the book is that it's a completely private interchange between these two characters who are entertaining themselves by sharing fantasies and undergoing this mutual seduction. And the transaction really between the reader and the book is the same sort of private experience. So the publicity part of the experience is a little... It's in opposition to the whole carefully enclosed world that I tried to create.
Was it ever embarrassing to be writing about sex, or were you ever inhibited or very self-conscious during the act of writing?
Well, and it was a wonderfully exciting book to write because the two characters were each creating contexts in which they could mildly shock each other. And when I would find myself writing my way into that moment in which they would decide or wouldn't decide to use a certain word or would pause before they used a certain word, I really had a kind of eavesdropper's delight there.
So in a way, you were going through the same process that they were?
Oh, I was following them very, very, with much interest, yeah.
What was the germ of the idea for the book?
Well, I had a number of things I wanted to say about sex, but the problem with literary sex books is that you're reading along and you've got these nice social nuances and everything, and all of a sudden you fall into this ditch, which is the sex scene, and you've got the age-old vocabulary and the same situations, and then you're out of it and you're back to social nuances and things. And I decided to expand the ditch, and have the whole book be... a sex scene, and kind of sprinkle over this very narrow focus all the social perceptions and things that I thought I could get in. I wanted all the rest of life to be implied, even though the characters were trying to stick to the subject.
Do you want to sexually arouse readers?
I want it all. I want the book to do all the nice things that art does, to make life seem worth living when you're reading it. And one of the physiological payoffs that a book... I mean, books can make you laugh and they can scare you, and I'm certainly not a horror writer. And they can, with luck and some concentration, they can be sexually interesting as well. And I think, why not have that added plus to the experience, or at least have it as an option?
People look down on pornography, but I think in a way it would be thrilling for a writer to know that they were having some kind of physical effect on a reader.
Yeah. It is a neat idea that you could write this book and then it could be in everyone's hands.
Sexual literature is judged differently than any other kind. I mean, people tend to measure it by whether it turns them on or not. So is that the way a lot of readers are judging your book now, letting you know that, what scenes turn them on? It must be a very different kind of response than you're used to.
Yes. The interesting thing is that women seem to like this book slightly more than men, and men and women like different scenes. All my books were experiments in trying to find out these things that I had thought, and in this case that I'd put into my characters' minds, were things that other people would recognize. And so the fact that they are telling me that X or Y was of some mild stimulatory, if that's a word, value is very much part of the whole experiment.
Well, okay, let me stop you there. You're saying that your books have always been experiments in seeing if certain thoughts are thoughts that other readers will respond to. Just to expand on that a little bit, it seems, too, that the books are experiments in seeing if certain thoughts that you have are universal or not.
Yeah, and especially in this one, where the things I'm saying are so private and so, you know, sexually charged and all that, are the fantasies and ideas that this pair of characters have, are they something that people will say is really kind of awful and unfamiliar? Are they going to say, yeah, that's the way I think too? I don't know.
So how are you feeling now that people are starting to read it? Are you starting to feel like, yes, my thoughts are universal, or, gee, maybe I'm really sick?
I think I'm feeling pretty normal at the moment.
If you're just joining us, my guest is novelist Nicholson Baker, and his new novel is called Vox. And the novel is about two people who have called a 900 number and are spinning out their sexual fantasies to each other. We're going to take a short break, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Nicholson Baker, author of the new novel, Vox. This book is in part about masturbation and about being aroused by descriptions of sex as opposed to sex itself. Do you think that sometimes it's more arousing to masturbate or to read about sex than to actually engage in sex with a partner?
Well, from a pragmatic standpoint, it's nice that the characters have to use complete sentences, because I'm in the business, you know, my solemn duty as a novelist is to finish all my sentences. But they, images, and how, well, we're just surrounded by pornography. You know, it's an astounding explosion of stuff all around us. And the book is interested in finding out how we actually use these things. I mean, how we file the images away and what pieces of them we arrange to entertain ourselves. And I guess the fact that this man and the woman are talking about them and trading them back and forth, just for the time being, makes it a more intense, less, I guess, physically distracted moment than it would be if they were actually having sex. Now, I think in a way this book is a love story, I mean, in a twisted way, and that maybe eventually they might have a cup of coffee or do something even more bolder than that. But for the time being, they're just creating word pictures for each other.
I think one of the interesting things about just creating word pictures for each other is that you're not in a real bedroom that probably should have been vacuumed yesterday and thinking about how you have to do the laundry in a few minutes.
On the other hand, it's so important to have the laundry implied. I mean, these two characters...
Yes, it was implied in your book. Yeah, go ahead.
They have to be believable to each other, or the whole thing just, you know, kind of disappears into nothing, unless they can convince each other that they are really doing and thinking the things that they're thinking, the whole spirit of trust breaks down. And so I wanted it to be a kind of realistic use of fantasy. Fantasy with the laundry, you know, and with the less cliched elements of kind of, you know, lingerie and that kind of stuff. I wanted it to be anti traditional sex and yet dependent, or anti-traditional sexual images and yet dependent on it.
Some people have interpreted your new novel, Vox, as a book about safe sex because it's two people having phone sex, you know, talking to each other on a 900 line. Do you see it that way?
I think they're doing something that's pretty risky and dangerous. Of course, they're physically safe. They're not going to get some horrible disease. But they are having the conversation of their lives. These aren't people who would do this normally. This is a pretty unusual thing for them to do, to call up a phone sex line, and then they happen to meet this kindred spirit and talk and talk and talk. And they're spending hundreds of dollars telling everything to someone they haven't seen, and that's emotionally dangerous, I think.
In researching your book, did you try phone sex? Did you try a 900 number just to see what the experience was like?
Well, I certainly didn't while I was writing the book, and I this book really is a fable. I mean, this is a hypothetical situation. What if two folks like this called one of these numbers and happened to meet? What would they really say, and what turns would their conversation take? Afterwards, I called a little bit to see if it was technically possible for the two of them to switch into a private one-on-one connection. But really what the book was based on is my sense of how conversations operate and my reverence for the telephone and for the way it narrows things down and forces people to think carefully about what they're saying.
Why do you think the telephone does that?
It removes all those nice things like Baroque hand gestures and fancy cars and nice clothes, and it is a form of telepathy. Even a radio show isn't that close to two minds interpenetrating because it's public and other people are overhearing it. But the idea of being connected by this thin filament from your living room to someone else's living room has always been, I think, a sexually charged thing. It isn't a result of AIDS or any recent development that's made it exciting. It's always been exciting.
This is probably one of the few books about sex in which not only are people just talking about it instead of actually participating in the act, but the woman has a raging yeast infection and wouldn't be comfortable actually engaging in sex even if she were in the same room with the person. And I wonder how you see the yeast infection figuring into the story.
Well, it's one of the things that she's able to say, and it's almost erotic because it's not erotic in that she... If she can say that she has a yeast infection, she must be telling the truth. I mean, the more reason that he has to believe that what she's saying is really true, the more real the products of her imagination are.
I had asked you earlier to read a passage from your book, and you explained that you weren't really interested in reading it because it was kind of very, like, intimate, personal language that was supposed to be about an intimate experience, the intimate experience about writing it or reading it, or the intimate experience about talking to somebody on the telephone. But you're going on a reading tour. What exactly are you going to do on the reading tour if you don't want to read from the book?
Well, that is a serious problem.
I can imagine.
I did not want to go on a reading tour. What I'm doing instead is writing something in the next week and a half that I will read aloud that will maybe bear in some way on the experience of writing the book or whatever, or maybe not. But I think it would be a major mistake. The idea of an audience sitting and listening to somebody say aloud this stuff is just at odds with the way the two of them are communicating. So I really couldn't read it aloud.
Well, Nicholson Baker, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And good luck on that tour.
Thank you.
Nicholson Baker's new novel, Vox, is published by Random House. This is Fresh Air.